Well, good morning. It's always good to see each of you here. Wow, what a great worship time we've had today. Thank you guys all for that incredible worship time. I don't know about you, I am so loving that Never Ever song. That's just right with where we are. Before I get into the thick of this, let me say a couple of things real quick. A couple of thank yous. One is, we've mentioned today, we're having a special offering for the addition to the building down the south end that we're going to be. We've been talking about that a lot lately, and we don't want to run it into the ground, but we have this opportunity to be as prepared for that as we can before we break ground, which we are just hoping is going to happen sometime this year as we try to get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. We're excited about that. It's going to do incredible things for our youngest members, our preschoolers, our elementary kids. It's also going to create some enhanced spaces for our adults who are bursting at the seams in their classrooms, and it will give us a wonderful entrance to walk in. If it ever should rain again in Amarillo, Texas, you'll have a covered entry. But thank you. I just want to say thank you for your donations. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. This is more important. A word of thanks this morning to the veterans who may be here among us. Yesterday was Veterans Day. With the calendars and the way things go with government-type holidays, you never know when the holiday actually really is, but it was yesterday, I think. We too quickly forget that America and many other democratic societies around this world would have had no present or future if it were not for the significant efforts of veterans on our and their behalf, time and time and time again. I know we're not here to worship men or women. We're here to worship Jesus. But in worshiping him, we are also taught the incredible value of selfless sacrifice. So if there are veterans in the crowd, would you please stand? Thank you. Thank you, veterans, for serving and risking more than most of us ever will or could imagine. We owe you a debt of gratitude. We're thrilled today also to have some special guests. Jim and Carla McElroy, wave your hands, guys. They're up here up front sitting with the little brother there. And they've been out in the lobby. They've got a display out there. These are our missionaries to the Philippines. They have been associated with Washington Avenue for a long, long time. Carla probably has more history with this church than anybody in the room. She was practically born in the back pew back there. And so she goes way, way back among some of our first families in the church, the Jordan family. And we're thrilled they're here today. Both doctors, the doctors McElroy will be in the lobby. If you'd like to learn more about the missions ministry to the Philippines, they would love to tell you about all of that, okay? Glad you guys are here today. Last hour, we had a visit by the Christian Motorcyclist Association. There are about 35 or 40 big people in leather came in, and they stood at the edges of the rows, kind of like, you're going to let me sit there? And it's kind of nice when the big bad dude next to you on the Harley has a cross on the back and you think, oh, he's a nice guy. So we loved having them here. It's been an interesting day. The McElroys could not have come on a busier day because of all that, and we've got a congregational meeting at the end. So thank you guys for making the effort to be here. Well, let's get into it. We're getting close to that 75th anniversary of this congregation. Actually, in January is the official date. Last week, we referenced Dickens' masterpiece, his treatise of the power of the past and the present and the future. And we all know that story. We know about those ghosts, don't we? We focused on the past a little bit, and that is perhaps the most burdensome ghost of the three, and the one that often weighs most heavily upon us, even in the present. I mean, think about it. The burdens that we carry today are so often the decisions that we made or missed, our choices, both good and bad, the wounds that we have sustained along the way. The past can chain us like Jacob Marley because it is unchangeable. In some ways, it's unfixable, except through the grace of Jesus Christ when we learn from it and use it to enlighten our present and future walk. The past can be really heavy. But you will find this to be true, I think. The past keeps on giving, doesn't it? The present comes with thorns and barbs and prickly reminders and sore places and regrets of what might be different today had we chosen a different path. And think about this. It will hurt your brain if you think about it too much. I have a very small brain, so it kind of hurts mine. The present, right now, actually is the briefest segment of our lives, because it truly lasts only 1 second before it trickles away and merges into the river behind us. That becomes the past. Now, the present seems longer, doesn't it? Because we're walking through it every day. And sometimes it seems really long if you're in the dentist chair getting a root canal. The present moment, right? Or if you're in Ryan's couch getting cracked and popped, it's like, okay. But the present really isn't very long. It seems longer than it is. Sadly, too often, the present is the part of our lives that we want to either freeze and hold on to, or we, in many cases, work pretty hard to escape from it entirely. What does the Bible say about the present? That's really the most important question. Biblically speaking, believers always live in this tension between past and present and future. Shane, good job setting us up for that. By the grace of Jesus Christ, the past, it should no longer chain us, right? We've been freed from the weight of our past sins. It shouldn't wear us as it does sometimes. Paul, by the very same grace in Philippians chapter 3, had this to say, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Do you see? Past, present, future. The more I've studied, the more I see it in so many places in Scripture. That's what Paul had to say about it. One of the greatest joys of believers is something we're looking forward to. It's the promise of eternity. I think American believers, as wealthy as we are and as comfortable as we have become, often forget that part. We kind of love it right now, which we should, but we fail to look forward to the really, really, really good part that we are promised, the promise of eternity, the ultimate forever future in which we will live in the very presence of God. It gives us hope beyond the struggles of the present, and it makes even the hardest of present times somehow manageable. The Bible pictures believers walking this tightrope between what is and what was and what will be. We are to be faithful and solidified by the promise of heaven, even that tantalizing ultimate promise of a new heaven and a new earth. But we are called to live in the here and now, to be fully present in the present. Just like the past we considered last week, if you didn't hear that message, I hope you'll go back and listen to it. It's really important stuff. Just like the past, the present matters greatly to God. We only get it right if we frame the present properly between the past and the future. You may or may not have thought about this, but the present is the most valuable currency of time. When Moses asked God his name, God answered him. God spoke in present tense. You remember what he said? "I am." Now, I know that that means I exist, right? It means I'm real compared to all those bogus gods you tend to worship. It also, though, I think is notable that he doesn't confuse the issue or minimize it by stating only that, well, I'm the God who made all of this. A long time ago, I created the heavens and the earth, and I've done some pretty amazing things in the past. That's not at all how he identifies himself, although that would have been true. He doesn't say, "I'm the God who one day is going to burn all of this up and we're going to create new things and everything that is wrong will be perfected," although that would be true as well. He says, "I am." And you know, as I face present daily struggles, and as this world gets rougher and rougher, it's good to know that I am Jehovah is with me today, right here, right now. Even though he is, as the writer of Hebrews says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Jesus is described by those words as well. And this is kind of an interesting dichotomy, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't have to be. Isn't that good news? Right? God doesn't change because he doesn't need to change because he's perfect. And I know you guys think I'm perfect, but I really need to change. Right? You know, I am not yet what I will be one day in the future, but thank God I'm not what I once was. Isn't that true? Isn't that the gospel for all of us? The psalmist calls God a present help in time of trouble. Joshua told his flock, choose you this day, today, which God you will serve. If you think about it, every single choice we make is made in that present moment. Every choice. This our God who never sleeps nor slumbers, who's actively engaged in our lives every present moment, and we actively, it seems like, choose or reject him every present moment. In John's gospel, we're told Jesus came so that we could have life abundant, life to the fullest. That means, yes, eternity. It means life forever, one day, yes, but it also means life here, right now. It means real and quality and full life today. That's the kind of life that God wants you to have and that Jesus makes possible. We are told in the New Testament to redeem the time, making the most of every opportunity. Both Old and New Testaments applaud men and women who understand the times. People listed in Hebrews, we talked about last week, they're praised because they lived by faith through their then present struggles. They were anchored by their past, but mainly they were hoping for a future reward that they could not yet know. Some of Jesus' most pointed teaching and most often ignored teaching concerns worrying. Anybody here ever worry about anything? Worrying is a malignant future focus that corrupts and cannibalizes the present. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. Give us today. His instructions indicated that should be enough for us and that worrying beyond today is pointless because, as Jesus said, every day will have enough trouble of its own. Would you agree with that? So true. So the present matters. It's not to be avoided. It's not to be wasted or ungratefully wished away. It is to be embraced. It is to be enjoyed and lived fully and joyously. It is sometimes to be endured until we get to a better place, depending on how the situation dictates. I went to the funeral last week on Monday. I go to a lot of funerals because I'm standing up here, right? It's good for you to all remember. I usually get the last word. Good for you to remember that. I actually went to a funeral that I was only a participant watching there. The mother of a good friend passed away. And the grandson of that sweet woman, who just graduated recently from seminary, spoke for a little bit, and he reminded me of a verse that I've known forever, but he coupled it with a little memory device that just for some reason stuck in my brain. He gave us these letters, RPGT. And here's the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. You'll see how it works. It's such a simple verse, but here it is. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, RPGT, it's simple, but I have a simple mind, so it sticks in there. I believe that verse, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I believe that, in a few words, is how you manage the present. That's how you deal with every day. Okay, I've had a lot of challenges this week. It's just been a burdensome week. God must have known that I needed to hear that verse at a funeral. Sorry somebody had to die for my benefit, but hey, right? If you're tired today, if you're uptight about something today, if you're anxious today, if you're ticked off about something today, RPGT, just do it, and you'll feel better soon. Now, let's shift. Let's spend a little time considering our church in light of the present, and I'm faced with some options. It's always weird to talk about things like this. Again, I hate when the focus is so much on us. I could overwhelm you with statistics today. There's a lot of numbers. They say something. Certainly numbers are important because they are connected to people, but they don't say everything I want to. But I'm gonna take the chance. I'm going to risk giving you a few numbers real quick. Those of you who are numbers people are going to love this. The rest of you are going to glaze over in 25 seconds like a donut. Okay? I know. These numbers I'm going to give you real quick, though, they're approximate. They're best available numbers we have. They're general. They're not for audit purposes, okay? Our current membership at Washington Avenue is around 871 people. That's more than you think because you only see the one group when you're here at that one time. Those are people that we know. They're not dead, as far as I know. We don't see some of them as often as we should, but we see them from time to time. 44% of our membership are folks who are between 60 and 80 years old. 44%. 44% of us are under 59 years old. 208 of us are just like me, between 60 and 70. We have one 100-year-old member, and we have 103 members who are somewhere between 80 and 99 years of age. And you may begin to think, well, man, there's a bunch of fossils around here. And there are. And we're thankful for every one of them, and we honor them and their part in this church, and we must never forget them. But I want to tell you something really cool, and you've seen it, and you see it in this service perhaps more than any other. God has blessed us significantly in recent years with young families, a lot of them sitting right up here and around the room. And in the past 4 years, we have welcomed 28 new babies. They are fruitful and multiplying, right? And we're happy with that. Last week, there were 36 kiddos in the preschool area alone. There were 26 downstairs with Billy in the basement. You can hear it vibrating sometimes down there. All that to say, we need to be ready for the coming wave because the wave is coming. And if we are not, it is nobody's fault but our own. Sometimes it's good to get a longer view so you can compare. Anybody remember 2020? That's a year most of us would kind of like to forget, probably. But as 2020 began, the first 3 months of 2020 saw our attendance averaging 547 each weekend. One of those Sundays, there were 645 people here. We were, I think, on pace to top all previous Washington Avenue years. And then the little gift called COVID hit very hard. And our numbers still have not fully rebounded. Although, one thing that couldn't happen before COVID and that happened largely because of it, there are a lot of people who worship with us every week online. It's not always easy to quantify their attendance, but on average, 125 people worship alongside you as they're watching couchside from their television or they watch it on their smartphone. 125 folks, you might not be able to find a parking place if all of them were here. But we're so glad they can watch and worship with us. We love that. Every single week, an average of 50 people download the sermon podcast. Okay? And I predict that happens at night when people are sleepy and they can't go to sleep. Right? You just turn on Jim and man, that'll put you right out. I've even tried it. It works. You should never do that when operating heavy equipment or machinery. Last year, we averaged 459 in-house attendance each Sunday. That's still down 80 or so from the previous average. So far this year, 23 new families have joined Washington Avenue. That is the fastest-paced new member growth since 2017. So that's an exciting thing to know. We're going to talk more specifically about money when we do a special series on stewardship after the new year. I know no one can wait for a series on stewardship. I know that you love that. And after the new year, you won't have any money anyway, so it'll be all academic, right? But in short, let me give you some, again, figures for comparison. In total giving of all kinds, you gave just under $1.6 million in 2019. That number has increased every year since, with no impact from COVID. Thank God for that and your generosity. Every year since 2019, total giving has increased to just under $1.7 million last year. And you've heard me say we've been a little bit slow in general fund giving this year, but wow, in other areas. It more than makes up for it, far surpasses it. Before today's special offering, which we thank you for, you have already given this year $160,000 this year toward the new building addition, and we're so grateful for that. It's just amazing how much you give. And I am hoping, I can't predict the future. There are two more months in this year. I'm hoping and praying expectantly that total giving this year will see us hit or far surpass the $1.75 million mark, because God is that big and God has blessed us incredibly. Over the past 20 years, you've given $2.5 million to the outreach of the Family Service Center ministry. Over the past 20 years, you've given $3.25 million to missions. Change for a Dollar, which we need to talk about more around here. We started that last year, I think in October, Shane. In the 12 months since, you have given $2, $3, $4 at a time, in most cases, $26,000, of which $18,000 has been disbursed and has gone to help real-life, practical, present needs of people in and outside the congregation. That's incredible. Just all of that to say, Washington Avenue is a very generous church. If I were to list other present blessings, I would have to mention, the list is so long, I would mention a strong unity that is foundational in our church. We don't spend much time trying to kill each other, and I'm really thankful for that. Now, that does not mean unanimity. It does not mean that we don't sometimes see things in a different way. This would be the dullest, most boring place in the world if we were unanimous all the time, except in our love for Jesus. But unity overcomes and overpowers our differences because we do love each other, right? We actually, people come and visit the church, say it feels like people actually like each other there. Is that not true in a lot of churches? I guess not. I love hearing that. Real people, real grace. We say that a lot, but it's more than just words. I'm thankful for that. I believe we as a church highly value biblical truth. And we're going to open the scripture every week. We're going to talk about things that Jesus said. We're going to read things from the Bible, and we're going to learn from them every single week and many other opportunities here in the church. I tell you, when those two come up in the middle of the service, it scares the fool out of me. Really does. don't do that. I love that we as a church are not afraid to speak biblical truth in love as it pertains to cultural issues and challenges, even though that puts us on the wrong side of history according to much of the world. I love that we are a praying church. We've seen it work. We believe that it works. I love that we value and support missions heavily, as I've mentioned. I love that we worship God with freedom and joy and energy, and we use the best music from ancient hymns all the way to the newest modern stuff, and we love it most of the time. We are people who are welcoming. I heard the motorcycle group, as they were leaving, they were saying, wow, it's a friendly church. Wow, it's a friendly church. I love that. I love the fact that people who don't know Jesus well are getting to know him here. It's the way it's supposed to work. A significant part of our entire church membership attends Sunday school or a small group or discipleship classes each week. We are a learning body of believers. We have exceptional resources and facilities, mostly due to your sacrifices and God's grace. But you know what? Beyond God's favor, our greatest blessings at Washington Avenue are people. You. Some of the best that you'll find in any church. Our leadership and our staff truly love Washington Avenue. They are top-notch. They are men and women of integrity and proficiency in their skills, and they are passionate in ministry. We have a lot of volunteers in this church. Whenever we start trying to say thank you to volunteers, the sheer size of the list, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, always just amazes and blesses my heart. I love the fact that we are well perceived in this city. I talk to pastors around town, or people come to know who I am, or they know me already, and I need to behave better in that regard. It's like, oh, they know me. But they always say, oh, I know what your church is doing. I heard this about your church. What a blessing to a pastor's ears, because some of the times when people say that about churches, it's not a good thing. It's always a good thing here. I love that. You know, I love that we're impactful in this city. I love how much we spend to feed hungry kids down the street at Lamar Elementary School, and Lamar thinks we're the neatest thing that ever happened, a church. You can separate church and state, but we're not allowing that to happen completely. We love that school. We love those teachers. We love those kids. I love the different ways we impact Amarillo. I can brag all day long, right? I could. I won't. And it would be unbalanced. It would be dishonest if I were not also to speak of present challenges that we face. This is kind of state of the union. There are good things. There are not so good things. And most of these things that I think of negatively are true in every church, but they are true here. Any of you been impacted by the economy and inflation this year? Last year? Yeah. With the economy and inflation and coming demographic shifts in our membership, translate that funerals, finances will get tighter. That seems to be an unavoidable trend for the future. I talk to pastors every week. Almost every church that I talk to is beginning to see this trend a little bit. Most of the ministries here based in Amarillo that I know and work with are experiencing this just a little less. Our financial priorities are going to matter more than ever in the future, right? And I say that not in any way because I'm trying to say one or two or three more of you should give a lot more money and fix this. The reality at Washington Avenue, the reason it always has worked and the only way it ever needs to be is when all of us sacrifice according to the blessings that God has given us. Let's just keep doing that. All right? Let's not underestimate his blessings to us. And remember, our Father owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Money is his. It's not ours. Every church, including Washington Avenue, must be cautious to keep the main things. It's so easy to get distracted and begin to major on minors if you're not careful. We have to be careful about that. For a church that's doing well and that has done well for so long, one of the greatest dangers to us are complacency and comfort. You know, we consider the blessings that God gives us, but at the same time, comfort can be not so much a blessing. And we can very easily either get stuck on ourselves thinking how wonderful we are, or we can come to prefer being served over serving. I mentioned we have lots of volunteers. There's one example, though, that continually bothers me, the constant shortage of teachers and helpers in our preschool area. It bothers me, right? If we ignore or sidestep our responsibilities to areas with the greatest potential impact, our children, then for whatever reason, maybe we're just tired like I am, maybe we're not willing to pull up the energy, maybe we have lack of prioritized commitment, maybe we're unwilling to get out of our comfort zone and sacrifice our time. I don't know. That could become our downfall. It would take a lot of years to see the impact of those ripples, but they're very real and they're a danger. Our lifestyles, can be a danger to the church. Church should not have to compete with club sports or sports gods or with our hobbies, okay, or with our lifestyles or our leisure or our possessions, right? When we allow or set up competition, the church always loses. It always loses, and that's our fault. And it places every church in a huge danger point. I would say, looking at our church, that one thing that saddens me is we're not evangelistic enough. I think our doors are wide open. I think we welcome anyone who walks in. I think everyone can find acceptance here, but we're not evangelistic enough. Every single one of us should know and be showing Jesus to unbelievers by word and by example in ordinary relationships. You got to look for those opportunities, right? One thing I love that God has brought so many people, thousands and thousands of people here through the years, and that they have found a safe harbor here. A lot of them came from churches where there were real problems going on. I love that they found this to be a safe place. But way too much of our growth through the years has been just moving people in who already knew and loved Jesus. I'm glad, so glad they're here. Our baptistry is used far too little. Far too little. Every church, including Washington Avenue, must resist the temptation of compromising biblical doctrine. Churches are changing every day to accommodate the beliefs of the culture. We must resist that completely. We must never compromise biblical doctrine. We must never bend to fit the culture. Amen. Because if we do, we become irrelevant instantly. At the same time, we must not resist changing and adapting our methods to reach more people who don't know Jesus. It's a tightrope to walk, isn't it? We must not be afraid of the future, as changes inevitably come, some of which will frighten us. We're not yet involved, I think, enough in things that impact this South Lawn neighborhood. Oh yeah, we're doing some really cool things, and I'm thankful for what we do. Let's not stop any of it. We need to do even more for this very community, because it is filled with people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are here. We have chosen to stay here in this place, on this square footage, when we could have easily gone and moved off to the shinier part of town. We're here for a reason. Let's be a light. Let's be salt where we are. That is so, so important. We must never forget Satan hates what we do, and he is out to hurt us. We must never fail to imagine that he would not love seeing this church dead in the water with officers and crew jumping overboard and dissension among the ranks. That makes him the happiest that he ever is. We must remember that Satan is the enemy. It's never the person that's sitting next to us on the pew. So I could keep going. Many, many present dangers exist. And I just want to tell you, in the context of the present, and I'm almost finished here, I would tell you this: be brave, be bold. Be the church. Someone has said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift, God's gift. That's why we call it the present. That would have been a lot better if I had come up with it. As we race towards 75 years, I hope you see that present at Washington Avenue as a gift. It is a platform from which to look both backward and forward and to learn and prepare for what is yet to come. With God's help, the future will be our best years ever. And that focus, what is yet to come, will be our very important subject next Sunday. You need to be here. Let's pray. Father, before we have a little quick congregational meeting, let me just stop and say thank you for the present. You have truly gifted us with this moment. And Lord, it's easy for us to look back and see all that you've done to make it possible. It's easy for us to look forward because we know that you'll be there with us. So we continue to lean into you, Lord. And as we celebrate the milestone of 75 years, remind us it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with you. Thank you, Father, for the gift that you give us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card. There, you can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those Connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.